I'd like to greet you in the precious name of Christ. He is where we find our hope and our salvation, and there's no other name under heaven given unto men by which we must be saved. So it's in that mighty name that I greet you this morning. The title of this message is called Pick It Up, and the text comes from, I'll reference Psalm 119, verse 130, but I'll also be reading from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 6 to 14. The church that I grew up in Pennsylvania, had an image of an open book displayed above the pulpit on the wall, above the pulpit. And it inscribed on this open image of this open book was part of the verse of Psalm 119, verse 130. The entrance of thy words bringeth light. And it stuck with me. I was just a small child when I observed it week after week. Plastered up on that wall, but it stuck with me. No matter where I was or what I did, there was this subconscious connection with God's word and the illumination into the vast mystery and meaning of life. There was a connection there that I understood as a small child. I didn't completely understand it, but I made the connection. If you opened the one, you would find the other. If you rejected the one, you would lose the other. God's word and the meaning of life seemed to stand or fall together. That was something that made a profound impact on me as a child. So Psalm 119, verse 130, the full verse, which was quoted in the King James Version, and that's what I'll read, is, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it gives understanding to the simple. And the light that God's word brings is the light of Jesus Christ. It illuminates a dark world with this glorious brilliance of Jesus, who himself described as the light of the world and the light of life. Jesus Christ. So Paul expands on this in Ephesians chapter 5. He's talking sort of about Christian conduct and living as children of light, what that means. Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 6, he says, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is the light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. One Columbus Day weekend many, many years ago, probably 15 or 16 years ago, I was taking a road trip with one of my cousins, and we were heading to New Market Battlefield, which is in the Shenandoah Valley. We stayed in Edinburgh, I think it was, a little village there, not much to it. But that's where we were heading. We were traveling from Pennsylvania, and we were just spending the weekend. It was a nice fall, Columbus Day, I think, first weekend of October, a weekend touring the caverns and camping, and we were going to visit the New Market Battlefield. So we had, it was a good old-fashioned road trip. We all enjoy road trips, or we should. We should all take a good road trip at least once in life. I've taken many, but this was one of those. We had beautiful weather, and on that particular Saturday, we toured the New Market Battlefield. It was a Civil War battlefield, very interesting place. We walked the fields and the forests and worked our way through the extensive museum full of artifacts and information. I'm assuming it's still there, but they have a really nice Civil War museum full of all sorts of things. So we worked our way through all of that. The museum also had a bookstore. And my cousin, who I was with, was just starting to be, an elementary school teacher. It was his first year. So he was real passionate about teaching. I think he still is passionate, but, you know, he's been doing it for about 15 years, so he's not as excited as he was back then, I don't believe. But he was real passionate about history and historical figures, and at that time we were both very into the Civil War, and I still read a lot about it, but we both were looking forward to that weekend. So he went to this bookstore, and it was a bookstore, if you've ever gone to some of these national park bookstores or museums or battlefield bookstores, they're places you do a lot of looking and not a lot of buying because stuff is very expensive. I mean, nothing comes cheap in these places. But he bought a very nice biography of a particular Civil War general. I don't remember which one, but it was a big book, one that would take a while to read. But because he was passionate, it was something he was going to do. So this was a big book. It was an expensive book, and it was something he valued and treasured that weekend at Newmarket. So we left the battlefield with a new appreciation for that particular part of history. We were, after a long day of walking and talking and looking, and my cousin had this nice new expensive book. Well, the day's activities tired my cousin out, and he quickly went into a sound sleep. We got in my Jeep, I started driving, and he was out. As soon as he sat down, he was out, pretty much. We can relate, some of us here, I think. But he got in that car, and he went to sleep. And a few things happened in quick succession. The first, which is not too surprising if you know me, because I have a history of misadventures, that deal with directions, I get lost easy. And I got in that car, started driving, and pretty soon I didn't know which direction to turn to get back to our campsite where we were at in Edinburgh. So that was the first thing that happened. This was before GPS, road atlases. Good luck with that, right? The second, as I mentioned, my cousin was fast asleep in the passenger seat, and the window was down. Among other things, in this Jeep, it lacked air conditioning, so you roll the window down to get any kind of airflow. So he was fast asleep with the window down, and I was at a crisis moment trying to figure out which direction to turn at a stop sign, traffic probably backing up behind me. So I did what I had to do. I said, Ash, which was my cousin's name, I said, Ash, wake up. Which way do I go? I need to know. He was better with directions than I was, so I woke him up. Now, my cousin is a pretty good sleeper by all accounts. He's a man that can sleep. When he's out, he's out. But his eyes opened wide in surprise in a bewildered reintroduction to reality. If you've ever woken up real quick, real sudden, you know what I'm talking about. And in one quick reactionary reflex, he threw that expensive Civil War book, which had been sitting on his lap, just peacefully on his lap as he was sleeping. In that moment that he was woken up, he threw that expensive book. In a sudden reflex, he threw it right out the window. Right out the window, can you imagine? Right onto Main Street, just like that. It happened so quickly. So quick, I didn't even know what happened. I couldn't believe it. I woke him up suddenly, and he subconsciously threw that book right out the door. I've never seen anything like it. He looked at me blankly with a very blank expression. He blinked a few times, sort of looked at his hands like, and he's piecing it together what he had just done. He finally fully woke up. At this point, I was driving again, but we both agreed that that book was something that was worth going back to look for. It was his prized possession at that point, and it was worth doing whatever we had to do to find that book, wherever it was laying on whatever road he threw it. It was worth going back for. Well, we did find that book, and it was right in the middle of Main Street. It was in good shape. I think it was a hardbound book, so it took a few scuff marks. But other than that, it was good, considering it was just moments before thrown out of a moving vehicle. It was in good shape. But this humorous story illustrates a reality that occurs in the spiritual lives of many people today. Now, there are people, I would dare say many people, today, young and old, it makes no difference how old you are, makes no difference where you come from. Many people that are on this journey of life, and at some point they fall asleep, spiritually speaking. It happens in a variety of ways, but it matters little what exactly has lulled you into this spiritual sleep, this soul slumber, or Christian hibernation. The point is that you have fallen asleep. You have let your guard down and you have given in. And at some point you're going to wake up. And what happens when you wake up is one of the most important steps in this whole process of life. Upon the sudden wake up, my cousin threw that prize book right out the open window. He was safely on his lap, like I said, resting safely. But in his confused state in the reflex of a moment. He gave it a varsity toss out the door, and he was a quarterback in high school, so he could throw it. It didn't matter if it was a ball or a book. That thing was going flying, sailing down the road. Now, I am suggesting that countless souls do the same thing spiritually. They allow themselves to fall spiritually asleep, and when they wake up in a moment of crisis or a crossroads in life, they throw the scriptures right out the window. You see it all the time. A child reared in the church goes off to college and comes back seemingly angry at everything. Many even despising the very Christian faith that they grew up in. What happened, many parents have tearfully asked. Well, they fell asleep, and upon waking up in an academic space that mocks Bible-believing Christians, they threw God's word right out the door. They lost the light. A grown adult who knows better yet gives into the foolishness of sin. Their eyes grew heavy, and upon waking up with a tempting decision, that they threw God's word right out the door, which caused their behavior sinful. They had to choose in a moment of crisis, a passion or a behavior or God's word. And they throw God's word out the door. They lost the light. Someone who chases after the infatuation of money and power. They clocked out and took a spiritual snooze. And the deceitfulness of wealth was more appealing than the sanctity of Scripture. So they threw out the eternal to spend the temporal. They lost the light. Or common today, people swept up in forceful political activism. They fall asleep and wake up to the angry shouts of hate. And they throw their Bibles out the door and join the ranks of those that hate the exclusive message of Jesus Christ. They lost the light. What happens when the lights go out? You fall asleep. At least I do. Sometimes the lights don't even have to go out and I'll fall asleep. But that's what happens when the lights go out. You go to sleep, and when you suddenly wake up in the dark, you are lost. You are lost. Now, there is a world out there that has perfected the art of lulling you to sleep spiritually. A world that knows exactly what to do and how to do it to make you let down your guard, that you will just go off into a slumber. All the deceptive promises of this short life. You may have found yourself in one of these aforementioned scenarios. Scripture says, let no one deceive you with empty words, no matter how big of words they use. Don't let anyone deceive you. Do not be fooled by popular opinion. 51% of wrong is still wrong. Just because everybody else is doing it doesn't make it right. Popular opinion is not what we gauge our lifestyle from. Live as children of light, Paul says, and find out what pleases the Lord. How do we find out what pleases the Lord? Our opening scripture, the entrance of thy word, God's word, bringeth light. It gives understanding to the simple. So we put those two pieces together. Live as children of light and find out what pleases the Lord. Thy word bringeth light, and it gives understanding to the simple. The key to life in such few phrases. Now, I think we all have been lulled to sleep at one point or another in our lives. It's bound to happen. No matter how spiritual you are or how good you think you are, you have been lulled to sleep. We all have thrown God's word out the door when sin has hushed our souls to sleep to pursue our own selfish desires. I'll admit it for you. You have done it. You're not as squeaky clean as you like to portray. As I mentioned, that book my cousin threw out the window was very valuable and treasured. And even though he threw it out, he did so while he was dazed and confused. He didn't really know what he was doing. He did it, but he was just waking up from a slumber. Upon the realization of his error, we immediately turned around and searched Main Street New Market until we found that prized book. So if you have fallen spiritually asleep, I can guarantee you something is going to wake you up. Something is going to wake you up sooner than later, I would say. There's a tragedy around the corner, a crisis. There's a turning point that you're going to face, a crossroads. There's social unrest. There's political movement. Something is going to wake you from your spiritual slumber. And in your confused state, you are vulnerable to discard the most precious word of God and throw it out in a quick reaction. When you wake up lost in the darkness, you're very vulnerable to throw out that which can give you the guidance your soul needs. You say it cannot happen, but I'm telling you it can and it will if you let yourself fall into a spiritual sleep. It may happen slowly, 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 but you'll find the lights go out. What happens next will determine the course of your life. If you choose to reject God's word and continue living to follow the deception of human philosophy, of human knowledge, of human arrogance and pride, you will be carried away by a lie. A very subtle lie, maybe. A lie all the same. It may sound convincing. It may get you into elite social groups, but in the end, it is empty. It offers you nothing. It promises fulfillment, but leaves you dying. As you travel further and further in the darkness until you don't even know where you are or where you're going, because you're lost. Now, if you choose to turn around and retrieve that precious word which was thrown out in a hasty moment of delusion, again, you have just woken up from a spiritual sleep. Maybe you weren't sure exactly what you were doing. Turn around. Go find that precious word that you threw out. Pick it up. You will find the truth your soul needs. Wake up, O sleeper, and let the light of Christ shine on you. The entrance of God's word brings light to your life. It gives understanding to the simple, and we are all simple. I'm very simple. You are very simple. We need God's word to instruct us and tell us how shall we live. The power and mercy of Jesus Christ transform you from a snoring sleeper to an energetic mover of mountains. You're nothing. Even the most mighty of men in this world that we look to on this world stage are nothing apart from God. They may boast, vociferate, use pompous words, but they will be humbled. There's no way around it. Those who reject God's word will always become hardened to sin's deceitfulness and follow the lie. Again, it may happen slowly, but if you discard the word of God, your life takes a certain course, and it's a course away from the light of God, the light of truth. You travel further and further away from that which can give you instruction. Those who turn around and realize the value and importance of God's word will find themselves growing ever closer to the very God who inspired and dictated it. Those are our two options in this life. If you've forsaken, if you've thrown out God's word, go back and pick it up. So what is lulling you to sleep? You may say, talking is lulling you to sleep, maybe, possibly. But more specifically, what's lulling you spiritually to sleep? What's out there that's taking your emphasis and your attention off of the living God and applying it to your own selfish personal motives, desires? We each will answer that question differently. But it's important that we identify that which is taking the emphasis off of God. As the lights fade down low, and in our souls we take a spiritual slumber. What's lulling you to sleep? Where are you getting the answers to life's greatest questions? It doesn't matter how much we know, how little we know. We all want to know, what is the purpose of life? What are these great big questions that we need answers to? What is the meaning of all this? Why am I here? Why was I born? Where am I going? We all need those answers. And Christ offers those answers. God's words give us those answers. Where are you getting the answers to life's most important questions? Do you look to the philosopher, the scientist, the professor, or politician? All will lead you far short of what God offers. They'll give you a bunch of answers, but they won't be the answers that your soul seeks. It won't give you life. They end in death. Where have you left the most important book in the world? If you have thrown out the word of God, I implore you, go back and pick it up. Whatever stage of life whatever happened, whatever caused you to discard that word, go back and pick it up. The entrance of God's word brings light. I am convinced that even today we can be sitting in church pews with a Bible on our laps, all the while we have thrown out its truth and value in our minds. It happens. We can look good. We can even have a big study Bible. Looks even better. We can have all that. We can be in church, but we can already have thrown out the truth of God in our minds. We view ourselves as intellectually superior to this old account. It's happening. Mankind, very proud, humanity never changes, proud and pompous they are, view themselves many times intellectually superior to an old account. We wake up from our sleep and throw the scripture right out the door. We construct a new Jesus, a false God, by our willful rejection of God's word. It always happens. We reject God, the Holy One He is, and we construct our own image of Him. We throw out the scriptures we do not like, and we do what mankind has been doing for thousands and thousands of years. Ever since man walked this earth, ever since God created him, man has created an image of God. And that's into our own image, how we would like him to be instead of the Holy One he says he is. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all of creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him whom we must give an account." And we will all stand before God sooner than later. Again, life is just a vapor. As the words of that song, we are but a vapor. He is eternal, and we will all stand before his throne. What are you doing with the word of God? It gives understanding to the simple. And every human born into this world is nothing compared to God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. You've given us your scriptures. It leads us into the truth. It gives us the light of salvation. It gives understanding to the simple, which we all are. Lord, we pray for those that are in a crisis moment, a time of tempting, a crossroads. They can choose between what men say, or they can choose between what you have said. We pray that you would give them the fortitude to choose you. It's not always easy. Many times it's difficult. We deal with peer pressure of all sorts. No matter how old we are, it's there. So we pray that your spirit would empower us, each one here, each one who calls on your name. You have said you will never leave us or forsake us. We cling to that promise. We run to you, a strong tower your name is. Pray that you bless each one here, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.